Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
When fire takes everything you own, where do you go? That question is on the minds of more than 10,000 families who've lost their homes in the Camp Fire in the Sierra Nevada foothills of Northern California. More than 70 people have been found dead so far, and more than 1,000 people have been reported missing. And the town of Paradise and the surrounding area are almost completely destroyed. A humanitarian crisis is unfolding. Some survivors are staying with friends and family. Others managed to get whatever remaining hotel rooms they could. Many shelters in the area are at capacity. And still others have been left without any place to stay, suffering through cold nights in cars or tents. This weekend, President Donald Trump visited victims of the devastating Woolsey Fire near Los Angeles and survivors of the mass shooting at the Borderline Bar in Thousand Oaks. And he also went to Paradise to visit with the victims of the Camp Fire. But while there, he was criticized for his approach, including getting the town's name wrong. He called it Pleasure several times. But despite the president's visit, people who have lost everything in the Camp Fire are coming together, filling big box store parking lots and a local fairground and trying to figure out their next move. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. And we begin our coverage today with Michelle Wiley reporting from Paradise, California and the surrounding area. Michelle's with KQED in San Francisco. Michelle, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
So some people have been able to stay with friends or family, but how many people are without these resources? How many people do we know are homeless right now because of the fires?
I don't think that we have an exact estimate. And part of the issue is that there are a lot of people who are unaccounted for right now. Over the weekend, the sheriff announced that over 1,000 people are unaccounted for. So I think we're still trying to suss out exactly how widespread this is going to be. I know that over 10,000 residences burned. So that's a lot of displaced people. And there's only so many shelters that can put them up. So we're seeing a lot of people camping outside in Chico right now.
That's what I was going to ask you. We've heard about people going into parking lots, people trying to gather in different places. What have you seen? You said there are people camping.
Yeah, so I think probably what has gotten the most focus is that there is a large tent camp site right outside of a Walmart parking lot in downtown Chico. And there's a couple of reasons that people are out there. One of them is that there has been an outbreak of norovirus, which is a stomach bug that can have like flu-like symptoms, and it's been in the shelters. So people are a little bit nervous to go to a shelter. They're afraid they're going to get sick. Another reason is just, you know, some people just don't like the shelter system. Some of them have been homeless before, and they're uncomfortable with being in that sort of structured environment. So regardless of the reason, there are people camping right outside of this Walmart. There's a donation system. They have porta potties. They have food there. And officials are encouraging them to leave because they're worried that that area is going to flood when it rains later this week. But they're not forcing them to leave. So there are a significant number of people out there.
Where would some of these folks go, though?
So there are Red Cross shelters. FEMA is supposed to be setting up trailers. They're just trying to decide where they're going to be set up. I mean, it's a bit of a hodgepodge. Some people have friends they can stay with. Some people are going to hotels out in Gridley, which is about 30 minutes away. Some people are just trying to figure out their next steps. One of the biggest issues for people there is that their cars burned in the fire. A lot of people abandoned their vehicles on the road out to Paradise because the traffic was moving so slowly, they couldn't escape the fire fast enough. So for some, it's not even really an issue of money or where they need to go. They just have to find a way to get there.
And you've also spoken to people who are newly homeless. You spoke to one woman named Christina Hickson. Let's hear what she had to say.
I heard in Yuba City, they're putting people in apartments. If you go to the shelter there, and we signed up for FEMA. We've done all that stuff. We've been saving gift cards to get a motel. We figure even if we're in a motel, we can still utilize the services of the shelter, they said, you know, and go there during the day. We just, and when you get a lot of people, like, I don't know how I got sick. You know, I guess this norovirus is going around the stomach flu. I've been sick all night, very sick.
Is Christina's story typical?
I would say yes. I think for a lot of people there, once they lost their homes, they sort of found themselves with not exactly sure what the next step was. And I think for her, like you heard, she has a couple different options that she's considering. But I think it also really underscores the way that people feel about these shelters.
This is, you know, California has had issues with housing for a while before this disaster happened. And you spoke to people who were homeless before the campfire.
I've been homeless 24 years, and homelessness doesn't bother me at all. I'm used to it. You know, it's the fact of seeing my friends, my loved ones, my community, everything is gone. We drove through paradise, and I can't believe it.
Michelle, the trauma in that man's voice is so evident, especially for someone who said this doesn't bother him, but it's seeing everyone else around him. Is that also something you found?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, in sort of the way they feel after this kind of disaster, they're so concerned about their friends, their relatives, their neighbors, that more of what I heard than them being upset over their own situation was being worried about the people around them, if they were going to find a good place to go.
One of the things that always strikes me about these horrible disasters is the resilience of the people who are often involved. You spoke to somebody named Mark Setchell, and here's what he had to say.
It's going to be a long road, and it's going to be a rough one. But the people of Paradise are strong. I've seen the community come together in an awesome way here. And now we'll be able to rebuild Paradise. It's going to take a long time. It's going to be rough. But I know I'm going to rebuild.
Michelle, this is another very emotional interview. And a lot of the folks in Paradise are also low income. Can you give us a sense of how that's impacting what happens?
I mean, as you can imagine, it makes things even more difficult. A lot of people there don't have the kind of financial support that you would need in a situation like this where you're newly homeless or continuing with homelessness, but you're out suddenly in a place that you're unfamiliar with, where you're not familiar with the area, you don't know where you should be, how you can get anywhere. I think that the impact of the incident alone is so devastating. And then when you bring in the fact that a lot of these people are sort of trapped in this situation, it's hard to leave the area. It really compounds things. And, you know, what Mark said, I think, is illustrative of how people there are feeling. It's a really mixed bag. Some people are feeling really resilient. They're Paradise strong. They're ready to rebuild their community. And some people don't want to go back. They don't want to go back there because it was so traumatic. And there have been so many devastating losses there, from the number of people missing to the number of people who've been found dead.
Michelle Wiley is a reporter for KQED in San Francisco. Michelle, thanks for your reporting.
Thank you.